name Hugo Black mean anything to you? Well, he was a United States Supreme Court justice, often described during that career as an intellectual leftist liberal from below the Mason-Dixon line. A senator from Alabama, he was appointed to the High Court by Franklin Roosevelt in 1937. He was FDR's first Supreme Court appointment, in fact. History records that one of the prime objectives of the Roosevelt presidency was to liberalize the court. FDR once even attempted to accelerate the process by increasing the number of justices. But the first real brick in the wall of Roosevelt's judicial reform was Justice Hugo Black, a Southerner. In the Senate, Black supported the New Deal in every aspect. His liberal agenda comprised a seemingly endless list. And yet, what jurists remember best about the crusades of Hugo Black is his record on the issue of civil rights. For example, 1940, Chambers versus Florida reached the High Court, a situation where four black men had confessed to murder under third-degree interrogation. It was Justice Hugo Black who wrote the now famous majority opinion that set those suspects free. Same year, Smith versus Texas, Justice Black wrote the majority opinion that because there were no blacks on the original jury, the black defendant had not received a fair trial. Predictably, considering Hugo Black's times and ideological inclinations and regional origins, he had a great many enemies. But he had one archenemy, and that is the rest of the story. Justice Black's enemy was an Alabama attorney who belonged to the Ku Klux Klan. By virtue of that alone, he stood against everything Justice Hugo Black stood for. This nemesis of Black's, and of Justice Black, was known in his day as the best trial lawyer in the South. And he was not what you'd call a reluctant Klansman. Hugo Black's arch enemy was, well, he had infiltrated into the Klan, into Robert E. Lee Clavern No. 1 on the eerie dusk of 1 September 11. He was among 1,750 other initiates into the Ku Klux Klan. The ceremony was attended by 25,000 spectators. This lawyer at 37 was scarcely a misleadable boy. He considered his convictions carefully and then raised his right hand, placing his left hand over his heart, and solemnly took the oath of the Ku Klux Klan. The attorney had signed his name to the sacred Klan registry, had paid his $10 initiation fee, which principally covered the cost of the white sheet Klan robe. And then, before 3 years had passed, the Klansman lawyer was so distinguished that a huge Klan rally was held in his honor, at which he received the coveted solid gold passport that ensured him an exalted place in the organization's history forever after. In defense of this Klansman lawyer, it was subsequently suggested that sometimes a man will sacrifice his ideals for the sake of political advancement. And yet, if that is so, how can one know what a man's true ideals are? For you see, this Ku Klux Klan member, whom I have described as Justice Hugo Black's worst enemy, this Klan attorney, who almost prevented Black from being approved for the Supreme Court, this man who became active in the Klan at the age of 37, and the liberal Alabama senator whom FDR promoted to the highest court in the land, these two apparently opposite men, one a member of the Klan and the other a liberal member of the United States Supreme Court, these were the same man. And now you know the rest of the story.